Welcome back to the Kurdish Research Audio Archive.
Hello again.
Today we're going to explore the ethno-religious landscape of the Afrin district in Syria, specifically before 2011, before all the major upheavals.
Right. Our aim is really to try and understand the social fabric of the region back then.
Yeah, looking at the different communities, the minorities, their history there.
And how they all interacted, especially within that predominantly Kurdish context.
So the sources we're drawing on today. Well, they analyze Afrin's demographics before 2010, really focusing on that pre-war period.
And these sources often highlight Afrin as maybe the least Arabized Syrian Kurdish region.
That's what some say.
Yeah.
And also known for its diversity. You know, reports of Kurds, Arabs, Alawites, Turkmen, Yazidis.
Circassians are known as Christians.
Apparently.
Apparently coexisting quite peacefully.
But we do face challenges, don't we? Like the lack of official Syrian census data, breaking things down by ethnicity or religion.
Exactly. The state didn't collect data that way. So we're relying on a mix of other things, academic work, human rights reports, research analyses, community estimates.
Kind of piecing it together.
Precisely.
So our focus is going to be on that mosaic of minority groups. Arabs, Turkmen, Yazidis, Kurdish Alevis, Christians.
All within the context of that very strong Kurdish majority, which was estimated somewhere between, 80% and 97%.
Yeah, really significant majority. And we'll also need to touch on the socio-political side of things.
Right, the Syrian state policies towards Kurds, but also what was reportedly happening on the ground locally in terms of coexistence.
Okay, so let's start with establishing that Kurdish majority. Multiple sources agree it was significant.
Yeah, Kurdish sources push the number high, like 97%, while other researchers suggest maybe 80% to 95%. It's a range, but clearly dominant.
And this really shaped the culture, the language. Afrin was known as a historical center for Sufi Kurdish traditions, too.
That's an interesting layer. Now, about population numbers. The 2004 Syrian census gave about $172,000 for the Afrin district.
And around 200,000 estimated for the wider Afrin canton.
But then there's this later 2010 census figure, 523,000, which is a huge jump.
It really is. And we need to be careful with that number, right? The scope, the methodology, it's not entirely clear.
Not at all. And again, no ethnic or religious breakdowns in any official census due to state policy. That jump, though, makes you wonder if there was some pre-war movement into Afrin we don't fully understand.
Possibly. It's also important we clarify what Kurdish means here. Usually it's ethnic Kurds, mostly Sunni Muslim.
But it also includes, or at least overlaps with, groups like the Kurdish Alevis. They came to Afrin in the 1930s, fleeing persecution in Turkey.
Right, after the Dersim events. And they maintain close cultural ties with other Kurds there.
Yes, very much so. They speak Kurmanji Kurdish, share cultural affinities. It's a complex relationship between ethnicity and religion.
And then there are the Yazidis, often listed separately, but with deep ethnic ties to Kurds.
Deep ties. Some researchers even suggest that maybe a majority of Afrin Kurds were originally Yazidis.
That's a fascinating idea. What kind of evidence points to that? It would really change how we see the religious history there.
Well, it's partly based on the sheer depth of Yazidi history in Afrin shrines, archaeological sites suggesting a presence possibly even before the 12th century.
So very ancient roots.
Ancient, yes. Yeah. And also the reports of intermarriage between Yazidis and non-Yazidi Kurds. It suggests perhaps more than just coexistence, maybe a shared ancestry, a kind of fluidity in identity over time.
Okay, so we have this strong, though complex, Kurdish majority. Now let's look at the minorities woven into that fabric, starting with the Arab communities.
Numerically small, perhaps around 3% combined with Turkmen, according to some Kurdish sources. But their presence was varied.
Right. Not just one group. You had historical residents, people who'd migrated from places like Manbi, the Albubana, Alamera clans are mentioned.
And also seasonal nomadic herders. A mix.
But a really significant factor was the state-sponsored resettlement, wasn't it? During the United Arab Republic, 1958-61.
Yes, that's crucial. Arab families were given land, often land previously held by Kurds.
Especially in Afrin City and the Jandara sub-district, this obviously impacted land ownership community relations.
It was a deliberate demographic shift, a political move. You see similar things elsewhere.
The village of Meryemun also comes up as having an Arab population alongside Turkmen.
Right, which brings us to the Turkmen communities.
Also often grouped in that roughly 3% minority figure with Arabs.
But their history seems quite distinct in certain places.
Especially Meryemun. It's identified as Turkmen inhabited in the 2004 census, but also way back in the 13th century by Yakut al-Hamawi.
That's remarkable continuity, isn't it? A village identified as Turkmen for centuries really speaks to deep roots.
And Meryemin being mentioned as having both Arab and Turkmen residents, well, it suggests they live together, or at least very close by. Both Sunni Muslim groups?
It does raise questions about local interactions. Were they mixed within the village or in separate quarters? The details are fuzzy.
Okay. Beyond ethnic groups, let's turn to the religious and ethno-religious minorities. The Yazidi stand out with those ancient roots we mentioned.
Absolutely. Deep, deep roots. Some trace them back to the 12th century or earlier. The landscape itself, with shrines and sites, bears witness.
And before the 2010s, Afrin was apparently the largest single Yazidi area in Syria outside of Iraq.
A major center for them. Population estimates vary quite a bit, though. Some say 20,000, 30,000, others maybe 50,000, 60,000 before the conflicts really escalated.
And their settlements were widespread, not just one corner?
No, quite widespread. Purely or mostly Yazidi villages like Bafloun, Kibar, Katme, Basufan, Shadar are mentioned, plus mixed villages and a presence in Afrin city itself.
It seems they were quite integrated. You mentioned intermarriage earlier.
Yes. Reports suggest the community was relatively open in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
Pre-conflict accounts generally speak of peaceful coexistence, little communal prejudice against them.
Although you also hinted at historical conversions to Islam, suggesting maybe underlying pressures at some point.
It's a nuance, yes. While the immediate pre-war picture seems harmonious, those historical conversions suggest it wasn't always straightforward. Maybe vulnerabilities existed in the past.
Then there's the Alevi community, mostly Kurdish Alevis, arriving as refugees.
Refugees from the Dersim massacre in Turkey in the 1930s. They mainly settled in the Mabatli sub-district.
Mabatli became their main center. Around 12,000 people before 2011, was it?
That's the estimate, yes. Afrin really served as a sanctuary for them.
And like you said earlier, they speak Kurmanji, share cultural links with other Kurds.
But they also advocate for recognition as their own distinct religious tradition with their own practices.
And despite being a minority and refugees initially, they played a role politically and culturally.
A significant one. Figures like Muhammad Ali Khoja, one of the founders of the first Kurdish Democratic Party in Syria, was an Alevi from Afrin. Shows their integration and agency.
Interesting. Okay, finally, the Christian communities. Information seems scarcer here.
It is harder to pin down numbers. Historical accounts mention various groups: Armenians, Nestorians, Orthodox, Greeks, Arameans, Melkites, a diverse mix.
Ancient communities among them.
Yes. The Evangelical Christian Union Church estimated they had about 1,200 members, maybe 200, 250 families in Afrin before 2018. That might give us some indication for the pre-2010 period.
And Armenians were sometimes put in a general other category, maybe 1% in some wider canton estimates.
Possibly, but specific figures for Afrin District pre-2010 are lacking. Any settled communities were likely small, perhaps mainly in Afrin town.
So diverse Christian presence, but likely small numbers overall.
That seems to be the picture. And no specific data found on established Assyrian communities within the Afrin District itself before 2010. Their main centers were further east.
So putting it together, Afrin's role as this refuge for Alevis, plus the major presence of the ancient Yazidi community, it does paint a picture of a relatively tolerant environment, doesn't it, compared to some other places?
It seems that way. Its ability to absorb non-Sunni groups suggests a certain local openness.
Oh, Hannah the Chai Lady is here. Roj Bosh, Hannah.
Ah, perfect timing. Roj Bosh.
Oh, this smells wonderful today. A really good balance of spices. It doesn't seem too bitter at all today. Just the right amount of sweetness, I think. Hannah has outdone herself.
Smells great. Let's take a quick moment.
Yes, let's enjoy this chai. Short pause.
All right. That was lovely. Okay, refreshed. Let's get back to the socio-political environment for minorities in Afrin before 2010. There was this tension, wasn't there, between state policies and local dynamics?
A very significant tension. You had the Syrian state actively, you know, marginalizing the Kurdish majority population.
Right. Denying Kurdish identity. Some Arabization efforts, though, maybe less intense in Afrin compared to other Kurdish areas.
But still present. Plus discriminatory laws like Decree Number 49 from 2008.
Ah, yes. The property law.
Yeah.
That restricted buying and selling land near the borders, right?
Yeah.
Had a big impact in Afrin. A severe impact. It created huge tenure insecurity for many residents. mostly Kurds, but affecting everyone living there. It made it hard to transfer land, even inherit it sometimes. A real hardship.
And suppression of Kurdish language, culture. It all created a difficult environment for the majority Kurds.
Which inevitably affected the minorities living among them. State policies created this baseline instability.
But despite all that state-level pressure, reports frequently describe local relations as positive, peaceful, communal coexistence.
It's a striking contrast. Afrin was often called a model of religious and ethnic diversity, an oasis of religious freedom.
Especially for Yazidis, apparently they face little communal prejudice locally.
Yeah, this local harmony suggests a kind of resilient social fabric. It seemed to operate somewhat independently of the state's agenda.
Do we know why? Was it just local tradition?
It could be partly tradition, but perhaps also. Maybe that shared experience of being under state pressure, even if it affected Kurds most directly, fostered some mutual understanding among everyone living there.
That's plausible. A sense of shared community against external pressure.
It's one possible explanation for that resilience.
So to wrap up our exploration today, pre-2010, Afrin emerges as this region with a definite, strong Kurdish majority.
But coexisting with a really notable array of minorities, Arabs, Turkmen, Yazidis, Kurdish Alevis, various Christians.
And despite those challenging Syrian state policies aimed at marginalizing Kurds, the local picture often painted as one of tolerance, of peaceful relations.
Yes, its history as a place of refuge, particularly for Alevis, and that long, long presence of the Yazidis really underscore its unique character.
That contrast, state repression versus local coexistence, it really highlights how complex Afrin's social reality was before the war and everything that followed.
Absolutely. And understanding this pre-2010 landscape is, I think, crucial context for making sense of the huge demographic and social shifts that happened later.
It definitely is.
And reflecting on this look into Afrin's past, it leaves us with a question for you, the listener. How do local social dynamics manage to persevere? Or when do they succumb when faced with these big overarching state policies and external pressures? And maybe what lessons can we draw from Afrin's example about the resilience or perhaps the fragility of diverse communities?